This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Well, good morning. It's time for Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and we are going to bring you some great local information as we do each week about our community and about real estate. And we got a really good show planned for today with the two guests that are here. And one of the great things about this show is that each week we do have different guests that bring different viewpoints, different perspectives and experiences. So I think it's a great way to learn about our community and about real estate. Here today, we have Anthony Gamber, a realtor with Realty Concepts. And Anthony, you've been in the business how many years?
It'll be 47 years.
47 years. All right. Excellent. So you've experienced a thing or two. And I will say this about Anthony. He's still very active. You're still knocking it out of the park. You're going to bring some good information today. And also, Anthony is one of the representatives for our local association of realtors that goes to the state and the national. And just got back from Washington, D.C. recently. So we're going to talk a lot about that because there's a lot happening in housing at the federal level. Our other guest is Ken Neufeld of London Properties. And Ken also has, how long have you been in the business?
46 years.
Okay, 46, 47 for Anthony, 50 for me. Ken, that makes you the rookie here.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
But like Ken teased me earlier, it's the rookies that know all about technology. And in this case, I believe you're right. All right. Ken also is a representative for at the state and national levels, too, with our elected officials. In fact, you hold a position called an
Federal Political Coordinator. Every congressman has a realtor assigned to them to help to deliver the realtor message and to hear back from the congressman regarding real estate matters.
All right. And that's important because you cannot expect an elected official to know everything about real estate, everything about pharmaceuticals, everything about finance. They need some on-the-streets help, and that's, I think, what you're bringing.
That is our job. That's why we did visit the congressional offices earlier this month to hear from them and to give them our input.
Mm-hmm. And I remember a few years ago going back, and this is while the housing market was in a bad slump, and prices were going down. The problem is there were too many short sales and foreclosures. And I remember walking into one of the congressman's office. He had his notepad out, and he goes, "All right, guys, how do we fix this?" So he was all ears wanting to get our input rather than telling us, here's how I'm going to fix it. Because of all the experience here, I want to talk first, in this first segment, a little bit about our local market. And then in the second and third segments, we're going to talk about the legislation at the national and the state levels and how that impacts local real estate. And And maybe that'll be a good predictor of the future, too. So a lot of times we try to predict the market in the future based off of numbers. Today, maybe we can do it based off legislation. But first, the numbers. I'm going to throw some numbers out there, and I'd like for you two to give me your perspective. So here I think is the big one. And of course, each time you hear this show, it's going to be a little bit different because the market does move, however, sometimes ever so slightly. Okay, so this year, the median sales price in Fresno County for residential real estate is $427,000. And that's from January 1st till this morning when I ran this. And of course, that doesn't include the last few days of June. So, it could change a little bit too. But $427,000. I did the same search for last year and $427,000.
No change.
No change, yeah. Mm-hmm. Should make it easier on pricing a home, huh?
As we were saying earlier, this does reflect a pretty stable market right now. And like you say, when you're pricing a home, usually we go back, in a real hot market, we go back 3 months. It's pretty safe to even go back a year now, given the stability that we've experienced.
All right. So when's the last time you guys would say we were in a stable market?
Boy, that's a good question, Don. You know, we've been in it so long. We've seen so many changes and cycles. You know, I always say to the clients, you know, the mountains are high and the valleys are low. And sometimes our business and opportunities do that. But I think what's unique about this market with the stability, it's giving first-time home buyers and also buyers that want to have a home for their primary residence a chance. We're not seeing the huge multiple offers and the overbidding that we've seen a few years back, and where some of the investors are coming in with cash and taking the opportunity that a homeowner or first-time buyer has. So I think that's very important, where it's not as frantic. A buyer can look at a property, they can think about it overnight, you know, so they're not forced in making a decision that sometimes they regret a few days later or a week later, and sometimes it can fall out of escrow because they just felt they didn't have the time to do the soul searching they need to make sure that this was the right decision for themselves or their family. So I like this market. It's more meaningful and more opportunities for the average home buyer out there, which I think is very important.
All right, good point. And to me, I think this is a stable market too, because we've, all three of us, have been through some real ups and downs, those high mountains, low valleys. It's nice to be stable.
Mm-hmm. And more relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah. And something you said, Anthony, about you can go think about it overnight when you show a buyer, I like that. I mean, there was a time when, well, okay, you can think about it, but we better make a decision in 10 minutes.
Yeah, or you have the documents halfway prepared before you even showed the property, because you knew that this was going to fit your client's needs. So, you know, you're frantic in getting and representing the buyer in the best way and the most productive way by filling out some of that information and talking about it while you're at the house.
All right. However, I'd like to see how both of you would respond to this. Sometimes you take a buyer through a home and you know it's the right one, but you also know, ooh, this is going to be competitive because they have it properly presented and properly priced. And maybe they don't have overnight to think about it. How do you handle that one?
I think that's a good point, Don, because we also are not in an abundant inventory era right now. I mean, in these other markets, we've had like 4,500 homes for sale at one given time. Today, we only have approximately 1,400 homes for sale. And so if your buyer sees the home that they really like and that suits their needs and that it's priced competitively, every home is different, of course, they should probably take action.
All right, good point. And I remember a market, maybe 5 years ago, where we were down to 600 available properties. So at 1,400, yes, there's more to choose mm-hmm. from. But then we remember that market of 4,000 plus also.
And we saw more multiple offers at that time too, because of the lower inventory.
Right. Okay. With all the years that we have in this, how do you respond when somebody says, oh my gosh, interest rates are so high? What? Let me start off with Anthony. What's the highest interest rate you've seen?
Well, I think in 1982, I was working for my uncle who was Gamber Homes, and I think we were closing them at about 17.5%. And there was also adjustable loans at that time, which were tied to the cost of funds, which was very unstable. You know, so we've had great strides from those times ago. But you know, when you look at the history a few years ago, where you get 2.5-3%, that's the hurdle that most buyers can't get over right now, because you know, depending on your loan and how much you put down, you're a little below 6 or a little below 7, but that's still a great rate. But they just have to understand that.
All right, Ken, how about you?
Well, I just to remind you that there were times when we were very happy with 9% and 10%, and I even recall when they went down to 13%, people were saying, "Hey, we better jump into the market right now because they're not going to go much lower than this." So homes were selling at all these other interest rates, and probably where we are right now is a pretty realistic number, as Anthony was saying. And you know, hopefully they'll come down a bit, but they're not going to be back to 2% and 3%.
No, never.
Unless we have another global pandemic to cause that. But and I like what you say, that these are reasonable now. So if somebody does want to buy a home, interest rates should not be telling them to wait or to jump. It's do it when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, before our commercial break, I want to say this. I took a real estate finance course at Fresno State, and I remember the professor doing this long equation, proving to us why interest rates would never go below 12% again. And I got a C minus in that class just because I disagreed with him.
Well, you're lucky you even passed, Don.
I have known Anthony a long time, so he can say that. All right, with that, we're going to our first commercial break. Stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Well, welcome back. Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and here in the studio with us on this week before Independence Day, we have Ken Neufeld of London Properties, Anthony Gamber of Realty Concepts, but I also want to take this time to thank our sponsor, the Community Housing Council of Fresno, for helping to make this show possible and relevant. Okay, our two guests just got back from Washington, D.C., where you were given a job to do, and that job was to work with our elected officials, congresspeople, and on relevant legislation that's out there right now. So tell us, first of all, how much, what kind of ability do you have to talk to these elected officials? You just call them by phone, or you actually go into their office?
Well, I find they're very accessible. And as Don said earlier, Ken's a federal contact with Jim Costa, so he has direct communication with them. But when we go up to Sacramento or to Washington, D.C., they welcome us, and they know we're coming because of our numbers. And we're here to help them in some of the legislation bills that they need to read. I think in California, there's over 2,000 bills a year. There's no way they could have all that information. So they see us as a resource to give them the highs and the lows to vote up or down, and these are the reason why. So I think it's a real benefit for everybody involved, so they're well informed and in how it could affect private property rights or home ownership.
I think they're very receptive as well in terms of their staff. This time around, we spent time with the staff of the congresspeople, and usually a staff person like a legislative analyst, it's their job to analyze legislation and to provide the congressman with information and recommendations as to how to vote or on certain bills. So they as a staff are also very receptive to what we have to say.
How important is communicating with the staff, not just the elected official?
Well, I think it's very important because, number one, it's a bad mistake for us to ignore the staff and consider them as second-class citizens. They're not. They are, in fact, critical to the decision-making of the member of Congress or the state legislator. So it's very significant that we treat them as with respect and see them as a source of information as well.
They're kind of like the worker bees behind the scenes, mm-hmm. which is very important, so that everybody is on the same boat as far as information and decision making.
All right, let's get into and I should say this too. The staff of the National Association of Realtors does a very good job of presenting the current legislation and the pros and the cons to each one, and some talking points, I'll say.
Yes, they provide us with talking points so that we can uniformly present the realtor perspective on proposed legislation.
I like how you say that, uniformly. I remember being back there one time, and one particular realtor was all over the board. I think she said, well, my husband wanted me to tell him this. And it was not even real estate related. So What kind of experts were we?
We try to train everybody that makes these visits that should not happen.
All right. Let's get into this first one called the More Homes on the Market Act, H.R. 1340. Supposedly it's going to unlock existing inventory. Who can put that into English for us?
Well, part of the problem today is that a lot of seniors do not want to sell their homes.
Because, why not?
Because of the tax burden at the time of sale. The current legislation, which was enacted in 1997 with 1997 prices, said that a married couple could exclude $500,000 of capital gain from taxation at the time of sale, provided they've lived in the home for 2 years or more, which of course seniors have lived there forever. And single taxpayer, they would be exempt with the rate of $250,000. Now, we really see this as not so much as a capital gains tax, but it's a tax, an equity tax on the equity that people have gained over the years. And so, since the prices have increased so much since 1997, the proposed legislation is that the exemption from taxation would be $1 million for couples, and $500,000 for singles, and also indexed to inflation.
Oh, I didn't realize that, about indexed to inflation. That's good, because here we are 29 years later since the last change, and boy, have we had some inflation and changes in price. I mean, a loaf of bread is so much more today. Anything, and homes are. Back in 1997, I'm going to guesstimate that our median home sold price was $90,000, and today, $427,000. So, quite a change.
Huge change.
I have a good example of how this, we never used to think that this would really impact Central Valley because our prices were so low. It really does impact the high-cost areas like the Bay Area, Los Angeles, New York, Boston. But it actually has come to roost with us here. Just as an example, I recently sold a home for $850,000. This home was built by these people back in 1976 at a cost of about $150,000. So now they would have a capital gain or an equity tax based on that sales price of $850,000. So with their $500,000 exemption, that would not have been enough to cover, it was not enough to cover their tax liability. Mm-hmm. So it's people like that that are that don't want to sell because of the tax cost at the time of sale.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times too, when we're doing counseling with the seller, sometimes they're not going to put their house on the market when they find out what the tax ramifications are, and they just want to wait till they pass. That way their heirs can get a stepped-up basis, then they can sell it and not have any tax consequences. Because when you're looking at the taxes involved, you're looking at federal and state, and these will be long-term capital gains. And federal, depending on your income bracket, it could be 15 to 20%. And statewide, it's 1 to 13%. So you can see the huge amount of equity that could be swallowed up in taxes because of these low homeowners exemptions that we have. So this has to be passed. And I think it is going to be. I think it's the first time we've seen in Congress such bipartisan with housing issues. They finally understand there's a housing shortage and availability, and there has to be something that can bring more homes on the market, and this is going to be the vehicle to do it and also benefit the consumer. Why should they be taxed on something they've put their sweat, blood, and tears in and need to sell than have a huge tax hit on it? It just isn't right.
Here's a statistic that is out there, and that if 30% of California homeowners would face capital gains taxes if they sold today, 30%. Mm-hmm. And that's even with the exclusion that's already there. It's just that the exclusion is not enough. But this proposal, this More Homes on the Market Act, would reduce that from 30% to 12%. So that could make a significant impact. And they're calling it More Homes on the Market by reducing taxes. Novel approach?
Well, the other thing, too, that they have to benefit from is if you have somebody that's been sitting in a house for 20, 30, 40 years, their state tax, property tax base is very, very low. So they might be sitting on a tax base of $150,000 and their house is worth $700,000. So if that house came on the market, sold for $700,000, that property is going to be reassessed. So the states are going to get more revenue based on that new assessment value. So it's a win-win for the states and the homeowners because everybody's going to see a benefit. So you got to look at the other implications that getting this house on the market is going to create as far as a property tax base.
All right. So that would benefit the seniors. Here's one that's out there that would benefit first-time homebuyers, and that's H.R. 3526, called the Uplifting First-Time Homebuyers Act.
That's kind of a fancy name, but what it really is all about is back in 1997, there was legislation that said the first-time homebuyer could take up to $10,000 out of their IRA or their retirement account for a down payment. Now, that was a good idea in 1997. It's still a good idea, but today, $10,000 hardly even pays for the closing costs on a purchase. And so the proposed legislation is that this number be increased to $50,000, so a first-time home buyer could, without penalty, take out $50,000 out of their retirement funds in order to get a down payment. And this does make a lot of sense, I think, given the fact that prices have changed so much.
Yeah, true. And once again, it's hard to believe that that was 29 years ago that these limits were put in there in 1997 and that they're still around today. So, and this is not a giveaway because it's allowing someone to take their own savings account. And I think it's a loan that they have to pay back eventually. That part I'm not sure of, but so the money comes from their own retirement funds. It doesn't come from other people in the form of taxes.
Well, here's the thing. I don't believe it has to be repaid. However, the whole idea of retirement savings is in order to increase the value of your retirement assets. So if you are allowed to use $50,000 of your retirement money to go into a home, that home is also going to be an appreciating asset over the life of the borrower. So it makes a whole lot of sense for this to happen, because it does not even defeat the investment strategy of a retirement plan.
That's exactly a really good point.
And the whole thing with housing, it builds generational wealth. There's so many stats out there from individuals that have rented all their lives. Their net worth is usually less than $10,000. When you get into home ownership, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars that you're going to be able to benefit on when you have to retire and use those monies, you know, to sustain your life. And the other thing with the statistics with the first-time home buyers, you know, we've seen the last 5 years, it's been the lowest. It's under 32% are first-time home buyers because they don't have the additional monies to get into, you know, and if they have to pay for their broker representation, that's another hit where they need some more extra money. So again, if we can get them to have access to $50,000 of their IRA account, they're going to get in a home and start building generational wealth, which is the American dream. We got to get back to the American dream and home ownership for everybody.
And you know, another way to put this is this allows an individual to take their money that they've put into a retirement account to diversify their investment into real estate also, not just in stocks, bonds, mutuals. So it gives them more diversification because, yeah, they are going to have equity growth in real estate. And plus, it's something they can use. They can use that home to raise their family.
Absolutely.
There were a couple other things, too, that I just want to touch on. There's H.R. 2410, Revitalizing Downtowns and Main Street Act. And that would create a tax credit to convert commercial vacant commercial buildings into housing. Does it look like that one might go?
Well, I think it has a stronger opportunity now because of the vacancy rates and properties just sitting. I mean, in Fresno alone, look what they're trying to do with Manchester Center. There's a lot of space up there, and they want to convert that into residents. So that would be a prime example in our area how this could benefit a developer if they had these tax credits to do that instead of just letting that space just sit there.
And not only does it benefit the developer, which, by the way, desperately needs that kind of incentive because it's not cheap to convert commercial property into residential property, but the other benefit is for the general public themselves, is it creates more housing opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And options.
Yes.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for going back there and talking to our elected officials. Hopefully you got to take a little time off and walk around the streets of Washington, D.C. to see our nation's capital.
Yeah, and we had some pretty good weather, too, which is unusual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the more homes on the market.
Okay.
All of us here, Don, Ken, and myself, we're very involved locally, statewide, and nationally in our industry, and we probably spend 3 to 4 weeks out of the year traveling to our meetings. And this idea of the capital gain exclusion, it came from one of our CAR meetings, directors meetings, where this was proposed. The board of directors voted on sponsoring legislation. So this is how this happened. It's happened with our directors getting together, looking at issues and trying to come up with solutions. So this is phenomenal that this started at a state, California state level, and it's gonna pass. It has to. There's a lot of momentum.
It makes too much sense not to pass.
Yes.
That might be a naive statement, huh? So, all right. With that, we are going to our next commercial break, but stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO. Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. We have a wealth of experience and information in the studio today. We have Ken Neufeld of London Properties, the rookie here, only been in the business 46 years, only, but very, very active since day one. So he does know a thing or two. We also have Anthony Gamber here in the studio from Realty Concepts, been in the business 47 years and also been very active, not just active with buyers and sellers and selling homes in the local area, but also active with our local association, our state and national associations. So kind of being at the front of the boat, where you can see where our industry is going. Earlier we talked about the two of them just went back to Washington, D.C., spoke to our federal legislators about legislation there. Let's go to Sacramento now, where, in fact, all three of us were there in Sacramento in late April and visited with our elected officials and talked about different legislation. There's one in particular I want to talk about right now, because it seems like the realtors were able to step up and make a difference here. And it was Assembly Bill 736. Who wants to put it in English? What Assembly Bill 736 would have done had it not been stopped?
Well, what we currently have now, when you sell a property, you have a transfer tax. And Fresno, it's $1.10 per thousand. So this would be just another bill that would want to increase that substantially. And that's going to be another added closing cost. But a closing cost takes away the equity that a homeowner has. So this was a proposal which was bad. The vote on this was yesterday, I believe, and with our state association, we get red alerts. So all the realtors in California that are on this red alert thing were sent an email urging us to contact our legislators about voting no on this bill. I called both my legislators, I guess it was Friday morning or Thursday morning, and I told them to vote no on this thing. And it was a very important, we just by that red alert, our assembly people had over 12,000 calls from realtors doing the work to protect private property rights on behalf of the public. So this is the little worker bees behind the scenes that we do to help assure that unreasonable taxes and fees are not passed on to sellers.
Just to give you another perspective on this, this is an example of realtors not working so much for, it does benefit us as realtors, of course, but we are really working for the general public when we advocate for these, defeating these kind of changes. This change, by the way, could have increased the amount of transfer tax from anywhere from $1,000 from a sale to $27,000.
From $1,000 to $27,000. Not a little thing.
That's a big...
It's huge.
And in fact, some in our market, there are people that might not even have $27,000 of equity to cover that bill, and so that charge. So when we, as realtors, we usually, when we analyze a sale or a potential purchase, we give them a breakdown of here's all the costs. And even now at 110, they're paying $1.10 per $1,000 of sales price. Mm-hmm. Even with that relatively small amount, they're going to say, well, what's there? very often ask me, what's this number? Why are we paying this? Well, that's the Fresno County transfer tax. Well, if that number was changed from 1,000 to 27,000, that would certainly raise a few serious eyebrows.
And blood pressure. So, yeah. And you hit on a good point. That is not a direct impact on realtors, but the realtors are really the only true advocates for homeowners. Homeowners don't have an association such as the California Association of Realtors that goes to bat for them. Also, and this is where having realtors speak and help educate the, or inform, that's a better word, help inform the legislators about things. I could see the proponents that were writing this bill thinking, oh, here's a guy with $1 million worth of equity, and, you know, what's $27,000? It's a drop in the bucket. Ken brought out a good point. Not everybody is like that. We need to inform our legislators that this would cause some people to have to short sale. Here's a tax that has to be paid. If they don't have that extra $26,000 in equity, then how do they do it? They either cannot sell it, they got to stay put. Maybe they need to sell it for health reasons, age reasons, or mortgage reasons. Now it could force them into a short sale.
Or foreclosure.
Or foreclosure, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wouldn't that be something to be forced into foreclosure by increased taxes?
Terrible.
Yeah. So, once again, I asked this about at the national level, but at the state level, do the legislators seem to be open to speaking with realtors?
Very much so. You know, they value our experience, information, and guidance we can give them as these 2,000 bills pop up every year. They need us, and we need them as well to have clear understanding how this is going to affect private property rights and home ownership.
Okay. Anything else happening at the state level? I know this was the big one because it was just defeated this week. And that is amazing to have 12,000 calls in a 24-hour period of time. In fact, unrelated to state business, I ran across a staff member of one of our assemblymen. And he looks at me and goes, "You realtors?" I said, "What?" He goes, "Our phones are ringing off the hook from you guys." Now, he said that in a nice way, but still, I mean, it got their attention.
Well, we have to be in their face. We always say, ear. If we're not on the table, we're not at the table, we're on the table to eat.
Yeah, we're on the menu.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are so many state bills that are coming after landlords, tenants, or tenant protection rights. And I think we need to help bring some information to them that not every landlord is a corporate, greedy, evil entity.
There's a lot of mom and pops out there.
There is already an existing, basically a rent control, a statewide rent control, which was a couple of years back, Senate Bill 1482. And there was an attempt this year to tighten the screws on that one, make it more severe. And this was a bill that was actually taken off the table the day that the realtors arrived in Sacramento.
Yeah. 1482 almost gave possession rights, long-term possession rights to the tenants rather than the landowner. So if that property owner needed to sell the home, needed to make a move back into it, it just gave the tenants an overabundance of possession rights. All right. With that, it is time for our next commercial break. But stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO. Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. And first of all, we want to thank the Community Housing Council of Fresno for making this show, for sponsoring this show and making it possible. Also, I want to remind all the listeners that if you had to miss part of today's show or all of it, you can always go to kynofresno.com, and the shows are podcasts there for the next year. So you can go back and hear it. Or you can go to the App Store and download KYNO 940 AM, and then you'll be able to get KYNO off your mobile device. Or as you're cruising Belmont, just tune to 940 AM. I said cruising Belmont because, hey, you guys are old enough to remember that, right?
We're going back a long time.
That's true. So we have here in the studio today, between the three of us, almost a century and a half of very active experience in the Central Valley real estate. So I'd like to ask you guys, you must have had a heartwarming story along the way. Tell us.
Well, I had one, and this has been quite a while. It was in the 90s. I had a condo for sale, and the condo was, I think it was priced in the mid-20s, if you can still imagine that.
Wow.
But this poor seller had a loan on it of about in the low 40s. So in other words, this was short sale time. We talked about short sales already. And a short sale is when there is more money owed on the property than the property could sell for. So this poor seller was going to be about $23,000 short. And they were not able to successfully get a short sale. And they ended up having to come up with the money themselves to the tune of about $23,000 to sell a $25,000 condo. I said, well, why are you doing this? This really doesn't make sense for you to be putting out almost as much money as the condo is worth. And they said, well, we have to get this sold. We need to get out of the mortgage, and we need to get out of this property because we are going to be adopting a child. And in order for us to have that adoption go through, we cannot have this debt on our record. And so they made a very major sacrifice in order to achieve their goal of child adoption. It was kind of moving for me.
Wow. That's a great story. Mm. And you have to respect those people for having their priorities
absolutely,
in the right place.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. You know, we think priority should be home ownership, which, yeah, that's one of them. But taking in a child, that's great. So my heart's out to them.
Well, thank you.
Anthony, do you got one?
Oh, gosh, so many. You know, I'll tell one that I'm working on right now that's making me feel really good because I closed this escrow about 6 weeks ago, and, you know, our work isn't done once the transaction's closed, but my seller was this lovely lady who was elderly, and she was seeing impaired, and she had two own solar systems on her property, and for some reason she overpaid one of the companies over $6,000. So they've had her money for over 2 years. So I started talking to the company that this needs to be refunded to her. We have the property on the market. I started with them 3 months ago. Then I called them again. Okay, we have the property in escrow. Then we called We Have the Property Closing Escrow. And this company, which I won't say, but which is just horrible, and they're taking advantage of a senior citizen who has issues. So anyways, make a long story short, given the runabout, call after call after call. When I was in Washington, D.C., I even called them two times when I was there, because I'm going to get her money back. And she thinks she'll never get it back. Well, to make a long story short, on Wednesday, we finally got the final approval as it went from one idiot to the next. And
how do you really feel, Anthony?
Oh, I'm telling you. And so they have now 10 days to send her check to her. So I called her on Thursday, and she knew that I was working on it because I had authorization to talk to them. And instead of calling me, they would call her. So anyways, in about probably another 10 days, I guess, she'll have about a $6,000 check coming back, which she's going to be able to use because she's in assisted living right now. But these solar peoples are horrible. But you just have to stay on them. And our job is not done once the transactions close. We're here to make relationships, solve problems. And this is going to be a good one.
And I want to add that these heartwarming stories have nothing to do with more commission, the realtor making more money. No, this is the realtor stepping out there to help their client. And that's where the heartwarming part comes in. I have one that comes to mind, and this was probably back in the 90s also. I had some people, first-time buyers, and they were buying a home for $65,000. A nice three-bedroom, two-bath out there by the airport. Boy, so many issues kept coming up. Some of them mistakes on their part, like they went and bought a refrigerator on credit during the escrow, which messed up the loan. So we had issues come up like that, but we made it all the way through. When I went to give them the keys, when we finally closed escrow, they had these big, huge smiles on their face. And when I handed the keys over, all of a sudden, the woman just busted down crying. The emotions got to her. And her husband said, what you have to understand is 5 years ago, our family was living in a car. Mm-hmm. So to attain home ownership, it meant everything to
them. Absolutely.
So what a good story there. All right, we just have a couple of minutes left. So I'd like to ask each of you, what do you want our listeners to remember most about today's show?
Well, I think the main thing, especially for younger people, is you got to get into a home. I mean, don't look at today's interest rates because we're in an unusual environment. The interest rate is higher, our prices are higher, and coming back from our state and national meetings, prices are not going to go down, and a lot of buyers are thinking of that. So do whatever you can to get into a home because you're paying down that mortgage every month, and the prices are going to go up, and this is generational wealth that you're going to be able to use on your retirement years or pass down to your children. And I think some of the things we're trying to do, especially with the getting the $50,000 accessible with your IRA account, if that can get you in a home, bite the bullet, get into one.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. How about you, Ken?
Well, what I'd like the folks to remember is that there's a lot of legislation that could be good or bad for homeowners and for buyers. And so the realtor community is one that is watchful in these areas. And when there's good legislation, we applaud it, we encourage it. When there's bad legislation that will hurt you as a homeowner, we're there to fight for you, and we do that. And we feel that's part of our commitment as realtors. And so we're happy to do that for you.
All right. And I'm glad you two are out there working on it and helping out. Okay, we only got about a minute left. So now I'd like to ask, what's your best real estate advice in 20 seconds or less?
Well, I think Anthony just gave it, and that is pull the trigger. And if you're a first-time home buyer, it's time to jump off the bench. The average age of a first-time home buyer now is 40 years old, so it's time to take action.
All right, Anthony.
Oh, just get back to the American dream. Home ownership is everything. So I think we need to get back to basics and put that as a priority in your life, home ownership, or even investment property.
I love that, the American dream, as we head into Independence Day. So, and I just want all of our listeners to know that we really appreciate you. And after 18 years of bringing this show, we really, really appreciate you because you're making the show possible. Thank you and have a great weekend.